Good morning to each of you. Welcome to the house of the Lord and to the fellowship of his saints. As Irvin had mentioned, and I said a little bit about the events of the week, those of you who don't know, Dalen's father passed away. Dalen is a member here for those visiting. His father was also a neighbor of mine, and he worked for us at our company. And is also my wife's cousin. So connections go really deep. And it struck a chord with me again. Again, for those who don't know, I have two brothers pass in January, 2 years ago and 3 years ago. And Dalen's father was a friend of my oldest brother. And they both passed in similar ways. Thursday night, I was in bed, and the phone rang. And when the phone rings at that time of the night, it just goes through you. Picked up the phone, and it was Dalen, and he had just hung up, but I didn't get it in time. And my wife said there's fire sirens going back the road. He lives just a half a mile back the road on a turkey farm. So I called Dalen, and he proceeded to tell me that his father is gone. He's passed away. And it just went through me. Just 2 years and a day after my brother, and the same kind of way. He sat down to go to bed, sat on the edge of the bed, and relaxed back into a laying position. He was gone that quickly. Irvin mentioned that death has been a part of us since creation. And we all know it, but we all fight it. We all want to live. We weren't made to die. We were made to live forever. And the sin, that world we live in, death is just an enemy. And we fight it, and we hate it when it comes and rips our loved ones away from us. This is just my little pre-sermon that I've just laid on my heart. And death is always hard, no matter if it's someone suffering, like Cheryl's father suffered for cancer for a long time and just passed away last week, and or whether they're ripped from you in a moment. But when they're ripped from you in a moment, there's no chance to say goodbye. There's no chance to make anything right. There's no chance to just have that goodbye. And it's just the whole the thing of being so suddenly taken. And so as I sat with the family and just reflecting, and there was a lot of dreams that Dalen wished could have happened with his dad. And it's all gone. It's over. So I was just doing some reflecting, and if we all knew how little time we had here on this earth, we wouldn't spend 1 second being angry at someone or holding a grudge or withholding forgiveness. Or if we all really know how short our time was here on this earth. So I have a question I want you to ponder. I want you to think about someone in your life that you may be struggling with relationally. Maybe it's your mom or your dad. Maybe it's your brother or sister. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a friend, a coworker. Someone who you're struggling with right now. Maybe you're holding on to something. If you knew that person had 24 hours to live, what would you do? If you knew that person had 24 hours to live, what would you do? So I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you, by the grace of God, whatever you answer that question, are you willing to do that? That if you knew they had 24 hours to live, you'd do this, or you'd make a phone call. Life is short. And relationships are so important. John 13:35 says, my disciples will be known by my love, by their love for each other. So I just want to leave that with you this morning. I thought about dismissing and going home and pondering that thought. How different would our world be if we would treat relationships as a treasure and as a gift? Our families, our brothers, our sisters, our moms and dads. Life is so short. It can be taken in a moment. The relationship takes two people. And maybe you've done your part and they don't reciprocate. Pray for them. We can pray for them. But I ask you to cross the line in relationships and be the one to initiates whatever needs to happen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. And Lord, here below, we don't always get it right. And there's things that crop up between one another. And Lord, I pray this morning that if you're stirring something in anyone's heart, that you give them the strength and the courage to take that step, to cross the line and say, let's talk, I'm sorry. God, the spirit of pride just crops up in our hearts and we don't want to admit that we may have been wrong or just a little bit wrong. Lord, relationships are so precious and so important. So I pray for strength and courage for each person who you're speaking to this morning. Lord, may for those who have great relationships, Lord, just continue to nurture them. And for those who are struggling, give grace and strength, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, my second message is entitled, A Gift Just for You. From Ephesians 4:7-16. So you can open your Bibles. We'll read that portion of scripture. Ephesians 4:7-16. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captives captive and gave gifts unto men. That he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same that also ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just reflecting, I want to back up a little bit to Ephesians 4, the first part of the chapter. He talks about the walk of humility. It says, he talks about our walking worthy of our calling as Christians, with humility, with lowliness, with long suffering, for bearing one another. He talks about how we are to walk, how we are to live in this world as believers and as Christians. And then he says, keeping the unity of the Spirit. And we talked about how that when there's unity, that the Spirit of God is in each one of us pumping the same message into each of our hearts. The same message is being pumped into us by the Holy Spirit. And that brings unity. And when there's not unity, there's another spirit at work in our lives trying to cause disunity and divisiveness and grumblings and quarrels. And I was thinking about that, you know, you have computer boards that are different models that produce different outcomes in machines. So you get a new update and it has a different message that it sends. And so I was pondering last week or the week after I preached the sermon, you know, if me and my dad aren't getting along, I don't have to go and check his spirit's model number. The Holy Spirit does not give an updated version to me. He has the same message for my dad as he does for me. And so if we're not getting along, it's not because we have different messages being sent to us by the same Holy Spirit. It's because there's another spirit at work. We all have the same Spirit of God pumping the same message relationally into us of how to live with each other, how to live in harmony with one another. It's important that we realize and understand that the Holy Spirit is giving the same message to all of us. Going into today's passage in verse 7, where he talks about giving gifts. So it's ironic that he doesn't talk about gifts first and then talk about the unity of the Spirit. He talks first of all about our calling, and then he talks about the unity that the Spirit brings, and then he talks about the diversity of gifts that he's given to each of us as believers. So this morning, if you are a believer, not only have you been saved, have you been your sins forgiven, you've been given new life and all that, at conversion God gave you another special gift. And that was a spiritual gift of how he wants you to minister, how he wants to use you in this life. It's beyond your natural ability. It's you know, some people are naturally inclined to whatever. It's beyond that. It's a gift specifically for you from God to minister, to build up the body of Christ. Every believer is given one. You think about an engine. An engine has a lot of different parts, a lot of moving parts. I'm going to try to see if I could get a picture of or a video of an engine without that you could see through it. All the moving parts of an engine it takes to produce power. So every little part is important. Every little part is doing its job to produce that power for that engine. And so The Spirit is pumping the same message into all of us, but it's being used and displayed and in different giftings in each of us as believers, as his children. And they're highly specialized parts. And so each of you has a specific, highly specialized gift, whether you realize it or not. You are gifted by God. You have a special gift. If you are a believer, God has given you a special gift to be used to build his kingdom. And it's how you see the world. It's how you look through the world, look at the world around you. Maybe God has given you the gift of serving. My wife has the gift of serving. And she'll serve till I pull her back and say, you have to stop. It's like she loves to serve. And sometimes she'll go beyond her physical ability, and I need to say, hey, wait a minute. But that's her motivation. There's teachers, and they think every opportunity is an opportunity to teach. Whether you're playing ball or organizing to do work, or you know, it's a teaching moment. It's just how they're wired. It's a gift God gave them. There's givers. I know of a certain person who will give beyond what he should to take care of his own self. He just loves to give. He's a giver. And he just gives and gives and gives. Another thing about this gift God gave you, it cannot be traded. You know, I struggle with that sometimes because I see some people's gifts and I say, wow, I wish I had that gift. I wish I could do that. And you probably have the same someone in your mind that you wish you could have that gift. But God's called us to embrace our gift because God's given each of us a special, specific gift for a reason, for a purpose. And we need to embrace it. Embrace your gift. Now, with that gift, he says he gives grace. He gives grace with that gift. And what is grace? It's whatever is needed to use that gift. Grace is divine influence upon the heart, and it's reflected in our life. It's strength, it's wisdom, it's courage, it's motivation, it's love, concern, care. So I want to illustrate that this morning. I received a gift one Christmas. It was just a little light, but it was a gift that I received. That light isn't no good unless you have batteries, okay? Now, I'm not going to take it apart, but it has three little screws. But without those batteries, the gift is almost useless. You could use it for a door prop or whatever, but it wouldn't be used for its intended use. So along with that gift, I needed batteries. So I was given batteries, okay? That gift, the batteries enabled this gift to be useful. And so God gave us all a gift, and with that gift, he gave grace needed for that gift. And not only did he give you grace, he gave you a measured amount. He gave you the correct amount that you will need to carry out your gift. That's amazing. And so when I got this gift, I got batteries. And this is the size battery that's in there, a little AAA. If I would have got this battery, this is a little, whatever you call them, if I would have got that battery, it would not have been enough to make the light run. It wouldn't have worked. And I found that so interesting that Scripture says not only did God give a gift, but he gave you grace to use the gift. He gave you energy, the concern, the love. He gave you all you need to carry out that gift, and he gave you the right amount, the measured amount of grace to use that gift. I love watching people use their gifts. I was at kids' club the other week and life clubs. Yeah, I still call it kids' clubs, James. How long is that that we've changed that name? And I love watching the gifts on display. I just sat back. I watched James with his gifting. Mem was doing her thing of serving. There was one's teaching. There was one's caring. It was just amazing to watch the gifts flow together to accomplish the purpose that was going on there that night. I watched Dalen's family, or the friends and church family, surround his family. There was people who came and cut wood. There was people who came and spread stones in the driveway. There's people who came, he was a turkey farmer, and tomorrow morning they're getting little peeps. And there's neighbors who came who have turkeys and are getting the barns ready. And there's going to be people who take care of the farm during the next couple of days. And I've watched the body of Christ come together using their gifts to minister, to build up the body. It's just amazing to watch. It's amazing what happens when we don't care who gets the credit. Isn't it amazing what can happen when we don't care who gets the credit? When we all work together. Not only do we need to embrace our gifts, we need to appreciate the giftings in others. And where I talked about sometimes we can be jealous of others' giftings. We need to affirm and appreciate other people's gifts and call that out and how you see them using their giftings. And I think of Irvin. Irvin's such an encourager and calling out how he sees people using their gifts. And I just appreciate that so much about Irvin. And so as you gifted people see other people using their gifts, affirm them and say, wow, I see God using you and your gift that he gave you. Appreciate it and affirm it. So if you didn't realize that you had a gift from God, you just realized it today that God gave you a gift, maybe you don't know what to do with it. You know, if I would have got this gift and put it on my shelf, it wouldn't have done me any good. You know, I have gifts at home that are sitting on a shelf that aren't doing me not much good. They're just sitting there. But then I have other gifts like this I use a lot, and they're very useful. Maybe you have a gift from God and you've never opened it. You're not aware of it, you don't know what it is, and you don't know what to do with it. Find out what your gift is. There's a lot of tests online that you can use to find out what your gift is. And research how you can make your gift useful in the body. My grandfather used to travel a lot. And when he would travel, he would pick up gifts for the grandchildren. He lived an hour and 2 hours away. And when he would come, he would give us gifts. And I always waited for those moments. And it seemed like he knew what gifts to get because he knew us and knew what we liked. And the gifts were meaningful to us, not only because it's what we probably wanted because he knew us, but also because it came from my grandpa. And I really liked my grandpa. God has given each of you a gift. He made you. He knows you. And it's from the one who redeemed you. It's a special gift just for you. Verses 8 through 10. It's like those verses are almost, they are in parentheses, at least 9 and 10 are. And so, oh, by the way, let me tell you a little bit about the person who gave you this gift. And he uses the analogy or picture of a king going to battle. And he goes to battle and gains the victory and brings gifts back for his children. And so our Heavenly Father came from heaven. He won the victory. He was victorious over sin and death and the grave. And he defeated worthlessness and selfishness. In the context of these gifts, he defeated worthlessness and selflessness. And he ascended to heaven, and he brought back gifts through the Holy Spirit to each of us. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He conquered worthlessness and selfishness. And when we accept him, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he gives us a gift of worth and of value. Gives us purpose in life to pursue as we serve the body, to build up the body. Verse 9 and 10 talk about the price he paid for this gift. He ascended to the earth and he ascended back to heaven. But in that dash or that period of time, he lived, he died, he gave his life to obtain this gift for you and for me. Do you value this gift he's given you? Think about the price that it cost for this gift. Incredible price for the gift he gave you. Verse 11 talks about some of the gifts. There's five mentioned here. I'm not going to go into detail of the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, it talks about more of the gifts. There's anywhere between 18 and 20 gifts that he gives to the body. There could be more. But he's given, in this context, it's gifts of verbal communication to the body. These gifts that are mentioned here. So I urge you, if you don't know what your gift is, go online. You can take a test, and it'll help you identify your giftings. Ask a friend to help you, or your parents, or someone to help you identify your gift. Verse 11 talks about the gifts. Verse 12 talks about the purpose of the gifts. It's for perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, and edifying of the body. So it's to help each other grow up in the relationship with God, the bottom line. We don't want to be stay children and immature. We want to grow up. I was in Chick-fil-A the other day. I walked in the door and walked up to the counter, and it just took me off guard. There was a little person, a midget, and probably no bigger than 2.5, 3 feet at the most. And it just looked, it was a perfect body, perfect person, face and everything, but it was just a midget. It just took me off guard. And so when we see that, we say, well, what's wrong? Well, why are you that small? And so there's probably something, physically that she couldn't grow. But it catches our attention, and that's not natural. It's not natural for a body not to grow. And so in our spiritual lives, the gifts are used to help each other grow up in the Lord, help the body to grow, and to put them to use to help each other grow. Verse 12 also talks about the work of the ministry and helping each other grow and using our gifts. It takes work. It's not all fun and games. It takes time. It takes commitment to work with people, to care for people, to care about people. You may have to give up something you want to do. Maybe this afternoon you have plans and you feel the Lord saying, hey, I want you to go minister in this way. Sometimes he asks you to do things that, you have other plans, and he asks you to do something. It takes a lot of time and energy to invest. Let's see Chris back there. The last number of years, he's been investing in Dale and his children. Every year he takes them to the farm show. And yesterday he did that as well. Special day for them. Her grandfather just passed away, but he's investing in his children's lives. And I know a lot of you are investing in people's life. And it takes time, it takes energy. But it's part of the work of growing up the body. It's part of the work of using your gift that God has given you to help the body grow up in the Lord. Verse 14 talks about being tossed to and fro, about the young among us, the new believers. And there's people who actually are out there preying on the new believers and weak believers who are young in their faith. They're preying on them for selfish gain. They talks about the sleight of men, and that sleight has to do with trickery. And they're trying to trick people for their own personal gain, to get people to follow them for personal and selfish reasons. And they're given twisted messages. And you hear people say, well, they're sincere. They're very sincere. But you can be sincerely wrong as well. There's a lot of people who are sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. Verse 15 talks about the remedy for being tossed to and fro is to speak the truth in love. And we hear that verse used a lot. But in this context of speaking the truth versus speaking false doctrines and tricking people, it's speak the truth in agape love, not for selfish gain, but for the good of the body, for people to grow up in a relationship with God. And so this morning, when I talked before the message about my heart for relationships, I was speaking the truth in love. I was speaking the truth about keeping our relationships current and clear, because if we don't, bitterness can crop in, anger can crop in, and walls can be built up. And so I was speaking to you the truth in a heart of love, not for my gain, but for your freedom in relationships and forgiveness. Speaking the truth in agape love, not for your own personal gain, but for their freedom and results that others can grow in their relationship with God. Verse 16 talks about the body working together with Christ being our head. It talks about everything being joined together to the working of a functional body. And you all know your bodies and how everything works together. Your head is the brain center of your body. It gives all the messages. And talking about Christ being our head, pumping the same message into our bodies, every part doing its function to help each other grow and using gifts for the good of the body. And every function is important. You think every function is not important? What happens when your little stomach down there decides it's not feeling very well? It disrupts your whole body. And there's a lot of that going around here recently. Just one part of your body not functioning just messes up your whole body. You can't even work sometimes. You can't even function. And so think about the effortless function of the church with all the giftings working together in harmony to grow each other up in relationship with the Lord in people's lives. And you are a part of it. Every one of you who are believers are a part of it. In closing, I have a friend of mine who has a Dodge Charger. He has a very unhappy car. I'm not sure, it's a very current model. It has 400 horsepower. It can go 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. And he said if he had the money, he could make it have 1,000 horsepower. Now you think about 1,000 horsepower in a car. It's a very unhappy car. Why? Because this car lives in a world where the max speed is 70 miles an hour. 1,000 horsepower car in a world where the maximum speed limit is 70 miles an hour. Like, what a waste. What a waste of power. You know where I'm going with this. Are you an unhappy Christian? God has given you the Holy Spirit. God has gifted you, and you have so much potential. What are you doing with it? Are you like that unhappy car with 1,000 horsepower in a 70-mile-an-hour world? God has given you a tremendous amount of power, a tremendous amount of potential to affect people in their relationship with God. Use that power. Embrace your gift. Use that gift to bring other people to Jesus, to help each other grow. Use it in harmony with other giftings. Don't be envious of the other person's gift. Don't be irritated at the other person's gift, even though it does sometimes. But work together for the good of the body, for the good of the kingdom. I have a couple questions for you to ponder as we think about the gifts. Are you growing in your love for the Lord? Are you in a growing relationship? Or are you happy and satisfied where you're at? Like, I'm a Christian, big deal. Or are you growing in your relationship with God? Are you asking God to continually fill you with His Spirit and continually surrendering your life to the Lord? And the Lord says, is there something in here you want me to surrender and give up? Second question is, how are you helping others grow in their relationship with God? How are you helping others grow in their relationship with God? How is God asking you to use the gift He gave you, of whatever gift you have, to help others grow in their relationship with God? The last question is, what is the next step that God is asking you to take in your relationship with God? What is God asking you to do? What step is He asking you to take? And so I ask you to come before Him and say, Lord, I'm willing to come. I'm willing to do this next step. Can you please show me? A lot of times our prayers are, Lord, show me the step, and then I'll see if I want to take it. See if it fits with my plans. Come before Him and say, Lord, I'm willing to take the next step. What is it? Just looking at this passage, looking at the overall picture of Ephesians 4, of the Holy Spirit pumping the same message of unity of relations with one another. And how God has given us different giftings to minister to the body, to help this body grow, to nurture the body, to support the body, to bring others into the body. He's given us many gifts. Let's not mess it up. It's a perfectly running machine. Let's not mess it up. Know your gift. Embrace your gift. Use your gift. Affirm others in their giftings. And maintain the unity of the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this body here and for the gifts that you've given to each person here. Lord, I pray that we will use the gifts to build up the body as you designed. Lord, I ask for just the willingness of our hearts to embrace our giftings and to use them in concert with the other giftings in the church and to work in harmony with each other. God, life is precious. Life is fleeting. And Lord, I just pray that we would realize the importance of love one for another. And you tell us that that's how the world will know that we will love you, that we love you, is by our love for each other. So I commit each person to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.